Everest.
I won't be up here long. We always put Morgan on the back burner because I guess he's the rear guard. So
we gotta finish strong.
If we get in trouble from behind,
he will be the blind side.
He's it.
I wanted to bring something up before you get started about what we were talking about. She was talking about this morning.
All right.
You know, there's a difference between the mind or the body of man and the body of divinity. What's portrayed there, you know, what Ezekiel saw on the wheel and all that is the finished product of the soul. But what we actually have, our mind, much like the tribe of Dan, which it is in the north, and Dan technically wasn't supposed to have the eagle. He's supposed to have the serpent.
Absolutely.
And that's where our mind is. The mind of man is the mind of the serpent. It is not the mind of an eagle, and never can be the mind of an eagle. The only way that it can is if the eagle comes down and snatches up that serpent. So what that means is you have to have some sort of a chrysalis or a transmogrification to occur before that's going to happen to anybody.
Dictionary. We use those big words.
A metamorphosis.
Yeah.
I got that. I know that word, but
let's go with the transfiguration.
But it does not happen on its own, you know.
That's good, transfiguration.
Really?
Things only happen. I mean, for instance, you're not going to have a snake is not going to give birth to an eagle. So you have to. There has to be something going on there, and there's also similar things going on in the other aspects. With the bull, of course, we know about the different transformations with that. Mom's taught about that a lot. I haven't heard about the transformation of the emotions or the desires, but I think that certainly the desires, we can understand how that can be transformed.
Well, with time.
With time.
Well, it takes a lot of teaching to teach on the desires, because we start with Reuben, which is one of the 12 sons, which is a part of every man. All of this, everything is incorporated into each human being on many different levels. Nothing's tied up in a beautiful knot.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, we have been trying, at least that we know of, for 10,000 years to apply man's law to the world.
Yes.
And it never works, okay?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it seems pretty permanent to us here in America, safe as we are, but, you know, Rome existed and was a superpower, the only superpower for over 1,000 years, and they fell. So civilizations rise and they fall, and so do laws. But that's what I'm saying. There's a difference between what man calls law and righteousness and what God calls law and righteousness.
Absolutely.
Oh, don't we know it? Absolutely.
But it's funny Morgan's bringing that, because that changes too.
And that changes too, yes.
So about the man part, you know, and the laws. They change it to their liking.
Well, and that's what's occurred. That's what's going on. That's what happened in the Hebrew. What I'm finding out, the more and deeper I read, what the Gnostics believed and thought is probably the closest thing that we have to anything that's real. You know,
yes.
The story of Adam and Eve is simply the story of God and Sophia. I mean,
right.
Absolutely.
In a way.
Beautiful.
So, anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe I can incorporate all that into what I want to share, and this is nothing new, but I got up this morning with the four mothers on my mind. And Karen talked so beautifully last week on spirit, soul, and body, and that's all we've ever taught here. So we ought to have that in our minds so down pat, you know, where we shouldn't have a problem with that. And then to understand that our soul, can you see the chart where you are, everybody? Is a four-party thing, exactly like she started out. But it's, as Morgan said, it goes through so many changes, and all of these go through changes. The determinations or the will of man go through the most changes, and we have scripture for all this that shows it to us. It's simple to me, but I've been in this so long that it just is like my second nature, so to speak. I would hope it would become my first nature. But anyway, as Morgan said, when Dan was given the serpent, he wouldn't have it because of the Hebrew understanding of serpent. Was not a good thing in their law and their teaching. So he bargained to have that changed. But if you remember, in all of this transformation, Dan is not even in the picture anymore. As God begins to move that carnal or personal judgment out of the picture, each man establishes what he thinks righteousness is. And sometimes we do it through reason or whatever, but it is usually so different from God's righteousness. And as we grow in Him, we can look back and see how we were misguided by reason. Because the intellect is the most deceptive thing. And that's what Dan stood for over here, was the mind, just as Morgan said. And it cannot, the serpent just cannot be what an eagle is. There's no way. So in the scripture, Dan gets to choose the eagle. But if you look at the prophecies, let's see where my Bible is. God does not let that get changed. He just calls it what it's going to be in Genesis 49. If you look at the prophecies of men for the end time, so to speak, or the last days, whatever you want to call it. Right now we're in what we call the last days, so to speak. But we have six more constellations to cover, which is at least 12,000 more years for man to evolve before he becomes what God intended for him to be in the beginning. But he isn't making man. If you know, he gives you that free choice. I just think that's so beautiful. What kind of loving God is this to birth something and say, it's your world, dude. You do with it as you please. I give it to you. You become your own, your creator. We create all the time with things we speak, and especially things we think. If we keep letting our mind control things, it will destroy you. It becomes your own destruction. So, anyway, the scripture says in Genesis 49, here Jacob calls all the 12 sons together, and he says, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what will befall you in the last days. Well, like I just said, we're only in the sixth age here, the age of Aquarius. And the next age will be the age of Naphtali, what do we call it, in the constellation? Somebody help me.
Capricorn?
Yes. Thanks. The age of Capricorn. And I believe because God is so getting us ready in this age, I mean, things are kind of topsy-turvy right now, and doesn't seem to be anything solid anywhere. Everybody's kind of got their own idea, and there's groups against groups, and oh my goodness, I never seen such ridiculous things that people are against, or get mad about t-shirts and flags and whatever. I mean, let whatever flag you want to fly, I mean, I don't care. I don't have a problem with that. If that's what you think, then do it to suit yourself and see if it's working for you. That's what I would think. Does this work for me, what I'm living under here? But he says, let me tell you what's going to happen. So we're seeing this unfold, but it's in such, like slow motion. However, I think we've been privileged to at least see what's coming down the road in the next 1,000 years or whatever. Not that it matters so much. I believe this is the life we're given, and we should keep our mind here upon what's going on every day, all the time, and deal with it. And if we don't deal with it, it'll deal with you, because you just have to take care of business. Anyway, he says, gather yourself together and hear ye, ye sons of Jacob. Well, we're all sons of Jacob, all of us. And hearken unto Israel, your father. Okay, I'm not going to read all these prophecies for the time's sake. And in my teaching, I like your help. If you've got something that you remember or want to inject, stop me. We'll talk about what you think, where you are. That makes it corporate. I promise you, the one-man show is over. We're going to see less and less of that. Because each man will have his relationship with that great Christ within himself as time moves on. We don't see that so much yet, but that's where it's headed. He wants each son to have his relationship with him, so it's so personal that you just have a great knowing, like she talked about as she was praying about Mary and Elizabeth. What was it? Elizabeth said to Mary, you know, this great salutation. If y'all were good Catholics, you could tell me, because they're big on this scripture. But anyway, she said the babe, she was talking about John the Baptist, leapt within my womb. Because of the fruit of your womb, there was an understanding there. So, beautiful thing. Anyway, he goes on, and he tells about Reuben, which has to do on the side of the desires. Over here, the face of man. Okay, who can want more than man? What animal? There's nothing that can want more than a human being. Desire. So, of course, he puts the face of man over there. And Reuben started this out because he was the firstborn. And his name means I see. Well, poor Leah. If anybody ever needed to see, she couldn't see beyond her nose. They say she was breathtakingly beautiful, as all of those women, or a lot of those women were back in those days. They didn't do like us, have an Avon lady, or somebody could do your hair and nails and all the stuff we get dealt with. They didn't have all that stuff back then, that kind of grooming. They just had, even that personal beauty had to shine through. But Leah Her name means help me, weary.
Weak-eyed, yeah.
Yeah, weak-eyed. And she was just very, very unhappy. Tradition says that Esau had claimed her as the first daughter of Bethel. And she was weak-eyed from having cried most of her life because she knew she would be given to Esau, who we know was not a good thing. She didn't want to be given to that lineage. So Jacob got deceived with Leah. But anyway, that's kind of her story. And so the firstborn son of hers and Jacob's was called Reuben, which means, it really means in the depth of the Hebrew, it is to see the son within yourself. To see the God factor, the divinity, the Christ, Jesus. To see him inside yourself, in your very cellular structure. That's a beginning. Yet I keep hearing people say, he's off. God Almighty, what I serve ain't off. It's the here, and it's inside of me. I mean, I don't think that way every second, but I know that I don't have to yell at him. He knows my thoughts before I think them. I mean, how ignorant can that be? You're praying to something. It's like an idol somewhere out there. It's somewhere. It's in here. It's in every cell of your body.
Well, that's kind of what the scripture means. Deep calls unto deep. I don't think we really got that concept, what that means per person.
Oh, no.
I say it all the time to myself. Deep calling unto deep. Give me the strength for change. This is funny. I was talking to Penny last night about how my mentalities have changed. And I'm really happy where I'm at right now in my life. But not without a lot of pain and struggle. And most of it was my own making. I missed a lot right in front of me. But that's okay. It's just moving on and being in a state of mind that, you know, I look back at some of my bad stuff and I go, I don't know why or how I did that. Why? Or did things that I did that weren't, I look at now and I go, good Lord, there's no way I could do that today. There's just certain things I couldn't do today that I used to do. And it perplexes myself, you know. But I can't berate myself on what passed. I can see the beauty in it when nobody else can. Okay? I can. Yes. And that's all that matters.
Right. Well, I forgot where I was. Oh, we're talking about Leah and her being weak-eyed. But thank you, Terry, for injecting the deep calleth unto deep, because that is a beautiful scripture. And to me, all scripture is just so... There's no end to it. You can't exhaust it. If you study a scripture, you can't get to the... There's never a finalization because it's so big. And it's meant to be so.
I think if you're asking for someone to inject something, I just have to say, I don't really think I understood when I've heard that so often, deep cough under deep, until someone said, well, his deep, I think it was you, calls onto our deep. So the depth of him, what he is always calling on to the depths of that which we don't even know.
No. Really?
We have no understanding or clue, really, of these rivers that are running through us.
Absolutely.
And he is calling on to that part of us.
Yes.
That part that's submerged beyond our understanding yet. But he's up, he's like an earthquake, he's bringing that up.
Like Lazarus.
Our understanding, to the surface of things.
Right.
And so when he calls onto our deep, what he's trying to do is bring a knowledge, an understanding, a revelation of who he is.
Really?
To the surface of our thinking.
Yeah.
Where we can take a look at it.
Please.
It's really submerged before that. It's really deep.
Absolutely. Beautiful. let's see. Anyway, it's just, I think it's a beautiful thing that Leah, firstborn son, is God giving her a message saying, hey, look inside yourself and see the sun. And, you know, we have a hard time with compliments, most people do, because we're so scared of the blooming ego. And, of course, it is a deceiver, that serpent ego. I mean, all of us love to be lifted up. But knowing how to do that without puffing somebody up, so to speak, you know. When we owned the daycare, we had a little boy named Michael. I know Penny will remember him. He was Laura Bays' son. And he'd walk in the door and he'd take his thumb and blow his muscle up. You remember him doing that?
He was the cutest
thing. I just could not get over this. But I always thought about that scripture where it says, knowledge puffeth up. And I thought, okay, but you say people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, so we got to rightly divide all this stuff. When I study, am I studying to be the big cheese, the big show? If I am, forget it. If I'm studying to make something of myself, but I want to help, not be something big, and you promise them you don't have to worry about it.
On a sociological level, that's the problem with our society, okay? More than anything else, we worship science, which is something that man came up with.
Mm-hmm. We worship what?
Science.
Yeah.
And that may very well be our own undoing there.
That's right.
So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Technology.
Well, not just technology, but it's not that these things are bad things. It's
really?
That,
what we do with
it's them. What you do with them, and it's the intent behind it. It's,
please.
You know, I'm right because I'm right, until somebody else discovers later on that you weren't right.
Really?
And the dinosaurs didn't die that way, and Troy does exist, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, you know.
Really?
It's the arrogant mind. It's, you know, everything that is not divinity, that is not the eagle, is the serpent.
Yes.
And that's what it boils down to. It is ego.
Yes.
And our entire country is founded on that. Mm-hmm. At this point right now, that's the direction it's heading.
Well, I don't want to get into that debate. But.
Well, not just political, just sociologically.
Yes.
But, you know.
Well, I think it's certainly far from what the pilgrims thought it would be, if you know what I mean. It's supposed to be free and all this stuff, so we won't go there because I'm not politically minded anyway.
All I was trying to say is we need to beware the danger of worshiping science.
Please.
It's
I agree.
It's going to get us in hot water.
Although,
it has kind of got us in hot water, but it's going to continue to.
It is kind of nice to know how something works and why it works that way. But then if we take it and glory in it, then it becomes our demise. Let me get to Dan. And I don't think I'm going to get very far with this. I've got a feeling. In the 16th verse of chapter 49 of Genesis, this is what they call the prophetic chapter for the 12 tribes. It says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. But Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in your path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. So keep that in mind. So no wonder, actually, we're in the month of Dan's month right now, which is Scorpio. And you see Ophiuchus holding the serpent and noticed where his foot is. So he's the only guy in all of the heavens that we know actually existed. And I can't say his name. It starts with an A, and I can look it up for you after worship if you got an axe to grind with me. He was a famous Greek doctor. 2,000 years ago, is that about right? Long time.
Longer ago than that.
Yes, it was before Christ. Anyway, this is the month we're in. So you see the conflict. And can you imagine putting your foot on a scorpion at the same time you're holding a serpent and wrestling with him? This is a beautiful story of Ophiuchus, if you should ever want to study it. But anyway, these are set in the heavens. There's pictures of them in the stars. And it's both it's scientific as well as spiritual. But the spiritual part is what appeals to me. Anyway, Dan's color, black, darkness. He's a water sign. And of course he represents the mind, the intellect, the thinking. But in the end of the matter, he will not even be there. It names the 12 tribes that will exist, and Levi takes his place. Remember, Levi counts.
Libra.
Hmm?
Is it Libra?
No.
No.
It's Levi. It has to do with the nose. If I can get over here and walk straight like I hadn't been drinking, what's going to happen? Right here. Levi camped right on the inside of each of the camps here. There were four of them. Moses and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun camped here. And Aaron, Moses and Aaron, on the eastern gate. The other sons, there were three other sons that were the Levitical priesthood tribe. They will move over and take Dan's place, and Dan will no longer be there because judgment must begin at the house of God, which house you are. But it has to be righteous judgment, not self-righteous or carnal judgment. I had forgotten about this, but this is what got me stirred up. And I've read it to us before, but I'm going to read it again. If you got questions and stuff or things you want to inject here, it's a good time. This is from Carolyn, probably about a year ago. She says, "Hello, friends. Shortly after Rokas and I were married, we were walking through the mall, and Rokas remarked, 'You think these are people with minds, but they're really minds with people.'" You know, that's a scary thing. That is a scary thing. Needless to say, I was left speechless and knew that my marriage with him was going to be very interesting. Most of you knew him, and that's an understatement. That remark created a new neural pathway in my brain, and I began to observe more closely the way people thought and how it motivated them. Well, you get to know people, and you kind of know what they're going to do or say in any given situation. Isn't that true? Come on with me now. Our minds are so wonderful and are such servants to us. something begins to happen to us when we open ourselves up. Great big bold capital letters, emotionally. That means God wants us to feel Him. He's a husbandman to us. He wants us to have the feeling. What kind of husband or wife would we be in a relationship if we said, you know, tell each other how much we love each other and all this stuff with the intellect and never had any emotional contact? I love you, but don't touch me. Don't get close to me. I don't want you to get in my heart. I don't want to feel anything, because that means down the road I'll pay a price. Feeling cost. It costs all of us. But you can have the beautiful feelings too, as well as those negative things that come. So we open ourselves emotionally to the mind or the consciousness of Christ. And that doesn't just mean Jesus, though I'm a Jesus fan. That's who I am. But it does mean Christ, which is more encompassing than just the man Jesus, though He did it all for us. So we could see an example that it could be done in flesh. Beautifully He did that. And all things are made new as He sees. The landscape changes, just as we've been saying all along, especially this last few months. Things are right in front of us, and then all of a sudden, it's like something new just springs up, and we go, well, where were we last week or last year? Or where could I have been back then that I would think such a way and be so deceived or not see that beautiful, beautiful thing right in front of me? So the landscape changes, and where there was once ugliness or overgrown weeds, we see the beauty and the emerging of new life. We are truly experiencing heaven on earth and are bringing a heavenly dimension to this earth. And I won't read the rest of it. It's more, much more of the same. But I just thought that was so true and beautiful. And it so goes along with what we've taught all these years on the spirit, soul, body, mind, emotions, will, and desires. Do I have that right? No. Mind, emotions, desires, and will. Because Reuben always has the face of a man, because who can desire more than man? But if you study this, whether you believe these are just allegories or whatever, that's up to you. I mean, I personally, doesn't matter how you feel about that, but I think they're beautiful pictures for us to go by. We see, watch Reuben in his life, how his desires deceive him. You know the story. Jacob had four women in his life. That's a lot of women to take care of. Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Anyway, Bilhah was the handmaiden of Rachel, and she was full of fear and trembling and dread and every unhappy thing you can think of. But she too, being a very beautiful woman, Reuben thinks, well, my dad is not taking care of his wife. So he begins to pay attention to his stepmother. But have to be careful in situations like that, because when something that starts out pure can really turn if you're not careful. So what happens to Reuben is his desire started out probably clean. I'll give him that much room. I don't know that. I'm not a man. I happen to be female. But anyway, they fell on him. And he began to see her in a different light. So he had sex with his stepmother. You know that's called incest, don't you? Okay. Was he deceived by his own self? And one of the books I studied, one of these that we don't have, it's the book of Reuben, says, immediately Jacob knew his son had betrayed him. Without even seeing him or anything, he just knew it. The story goes, according to the book of Reuben, that Reuben saw her undressing. Reminds me of David and Bathsheba all over again. David watched Bathsheba bathe. I mean, he's sitting up there, Mr. Hottentot, in his castle. And he could see all over Israel and tents and so on and so forth. And she was having her night bath. I'm talking about David here. And so he began to want her. So he had her husband, Uriah, placed in the heat of the battle, knowing he was going to be killed, so he could have Bathsheba. That's that little story. It's pretty wicked. Reuben has sex with Bilhah. And, of course, it spreads through the camp. I mean, can you imagine trying to hide all that stuff from everybody, and you got all these brothers? I mean, you've got 11 brothers to tell on you or keep up with you. Anyway, so he's deceived, even though it started out clean. And I think that's why we have to be so careful of taking care of who we are. It's not so much, Connie, how do you feel about this, but what is the heart of the matter? Father, what is the heart of the matter? How would you want me to feel about this? And I always hear the word wisdom. Wisdom builds a house. And you don't find that overnight. You guys that do construction, how many have built a house pronto? If you build a house, you have to gather the proper materials first and lay out some plans. That means you go slow. You take time to evaluate that thing that's in your head.
Processing.
Yes. And that takes, you just don't do that in a moment. You have to give some thought and heart. How is my heart in this matter? And sometimes when you know the purity of something and the others can't see it, it really makes you angry. Because people go, good grief. Just stop and think about the situation, how this happened and how it got to this place, and how should you feel about it? How should you really feel? And most of the time, it's just mind your own business. That's what I hear. Tend to your house.
Shut up, Terry.
If I can take care of this, I'll be doing miracles. If I just take care of Connie. what that other guy does, if I'm wasting my time judging and thinking about them, that's just what I'm doing. Wasting my time. Not that I don't care. There is a care, but you got to rightly divide the word of truth, the thing that's in your path. How do I deal with this, Father? Show me. Give me wisdom. Well, he don't pronto give you wisdom. It takes a while for you to hear the wisdom of a matter. And what you come up with usually after you've deliberated for a good while with a pure heart, not a selective heart. Oh my God. And we all have some of that. We can be very selective about certain things, wanting it a certain way. So, anyway, we see the firstborn. I told you I wasn't going to get very far because I want Morgan to share whatever he's going to share.
Go ahead. I don't really have anything major, so you just teach.
Well, I'm not going to teach a whole much longer because I'm standing. And it better be holy ground because when I sit down, I don't know about it. But anyway, we have the firstborn who is Reuben, which means to see the Son within yourself. I just think that's so beautiful. When I know I have passed a test, in a divine test and situation, I've had people say to me in certain things, how come you didn't get upset about so-and-so? I said, well, just didn't see the reason. What could I do about it? I mean, really, I could be offended. You know, all of us have touchy places. Every one of us have got touchies. So we need to be careful about those touchy places. And some of us, touchy all over, so you can't touch them anywhere. You're going, okay, how do I talk to this person? Because But you know that they don't want you to say certain things. Okay. Well, like I said, I didn't get very far here. So the firstborn is Reuben. Right behind him, we have Simeon. And of course, they change places some, even though Simeon is on the side of desire. Let's see if I've got a... trying to think of where a map is that I can show us that will make it more plain. Yeah, this will do. If I can get it to stay up there. I need to redo all these things someday. Okay, let's look at his Reuben right here. And then you see Simeon just below him, which is his brother next to him. He's the firstborn in Israel. He's the secondborn. This means to see. Simeon means to hear. Don't you think that's beautiful? To see, to hear, and then Levi is born, the third son, and he counts in here. This is where the Levitical priesthood all count. Levi is Libra, if you're, we got two Libras here, Michael and Bruce, means the balances. Anyway, he camped inside here, but his name has to do with the nose. We have the seeing, the hearing, and the smeller that's the feller. Okay. In the death process, I am told that the first sense that leaves you, if you're in a dying process, no matter, you know, where you are, you lose your sense of smell quickly. It goes first. And if you know, if you smell something, you can be forewarned. Johnny and I talk about, you know, bad food sometimes. And I'll say to him, he'll say, well, what do you think about this? I said, well, honey, smell it. He just looks at me. But, you know, if something's beginning to be a little tainted, it'll have just a little odor to it. And that goes in the disposal, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to eat it. These two cooks back here, Bruce and Morgan, are very particular about old food. Morgan's worse than Bruce. Anything that stayed around a while. So, the smelling, to me, spiritually speaking, is vital. Because then you don't have to ask so many questions. You know that it's tainted because you can smell it before it gets to you. It's coming down the road, and you smell that odor before, and everything in you will say, don't go there. Don't be part of that. It's just a little bit tainted. And I don't want to get put in jail, but Karen and I talk a whole lot about issues on, a whole lot, that's not true, but some about issues on Facebook. Can't believe she and I have just about wanted just to back off from it because people get into such strong issues and just uncover their nakedness on Facebook. And I don't think it was meant for that. So it, to me, it's become a thing that was probably beautiful to begin with, a way for people to communicate that were lonely or whatever, or just with each other. It started out okay, but then man wants to take it and just show all his nakedness on the thing, and you're going, what is this about? So you smell it coming. You get your smeller going. That's the third son. Levi has to do with the nose, the smelling. And of course, Judah is the fourth born. All four of these boys belong to Leah and Jacob. And Judah has to do with praise, which to me has to do with the mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. So, I will offer up the fruit of my lips. Well, the last time I checked, that's words. Use them. But use them for beautiful things. To build a character, if we can. Or to help yourself or someone. Be careful with your words. And anyway, Judah speaks of the mouth. And then we start getting into more of the jealousy stuff. Leah quit bearing. So Rachel becomes very jealous here because she was the one chosen by Jacob to begin with, as you know. And so she offers her handmaiden, Bilhah, to Jacob to bear seed for her. And she has Dan, who is fifth born. I think I'm right. Somebody may have to straighten me out here because I get a little crooked in here sometimes. But yeah, Dan's the fifth born. And then she has Naphtali. Okay, Naphtali is Capricorn. And I know a lot of Capricorns. And it says, let me read what it says. And Rachel says, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. She had the right to name the son. So Capricornians believe life is a struggle. They just do. And I'm not saying other signs don't believe it. But it's pretty, stands out in their character. If you talk to one, they'll tell you about the struggle.
Slowly.
Huh?
Slowly.
Really? Well, they're usually precise and they have their facts together, which is, it's cool.
Well, I was telling Penny why I say that is Ryan's wife is Capricorn. And Penny, when you're talking to Penny on the phone, she's really slow to respond. But this young lady is real slow. It's like, hello, are you still here?
she's thinking.
She's thinking. She's Capricorn. Yeah. Yeah, Ryan says she's thinking of a plot, nothing whatever. She's smarter than you, Ryan.
No, usually it's because we're thinking.
She's thinking about what to say and how to say it and how to respond. I think that's what they do, is they step back. I know Margaret does. She takes a step back, especially if it's something, you can see it in her body, you know.
Yeah, they do. Usually, as a rule, if they're true Capricorn, they deliberate within themselves, so to speak. Well, I'm not going to keep teaching because it could go on and on. I got the first four sons talked about, and actually I was going to go to the four mothers, but we just don't have time to even begin to cover that because I wanted to deal with summer, winter, spring, and fall having to do with those four mothers, and I didn't get to touch that. So another time, I suppose we will. Do you want to talk about these more, or are you good for the day?
We're good, I'm good, you can sit down.
Okay. Morgan, do you have a little something?
I don't really, I mean, I kind of I've already said it, so.
I know all of you don't keep these, but you really should. I love this one. Karen did this one. I had nothing to do with it other than she and I have talked a lot through the years, so we think much alike. But anyway, it's a beautiful diagram, and we have so many of these that will help you in the future to understand yourself and others if you just pull it out and look at it. And then I make notes when people teach because I think it's interesting where they are coming from. Because they're coming from a place that I can't. They're not me. So it's awesome how God deals with the individuals. Every one of you have talked from time to time. I'd just give anything if Johnny would get up here and share. Bruce, Terry, Michael, he's got gold all in him. All of you, Penny, whomever's in the room, it would just tickle me to death to hear what you have to say. It's important. And you might could put a star in my crown, too, if I could borrow some of your beautiful thoughts. It's awesome to be together. It's wonderful.
I will just put one thing in there. You know, originally there were 13 tribes, and always has been 13 tribes. There were 13 months.
Yes, lunar months. Yeah, and, I do know that.
You know, others. You know, until Pope Gregory came along, that's how it was for everybody. So, you know, a lot of this stuff has changed. Perhaps it's changing from 13 to 12 to match our current understanding. I don't know. But I do know that although the tribe of Dan, like you said, it's left out of the final thing, he is incorporated in man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you don't believe that, just take a look at a European map.
Oh, absolutely.
The name Dan is all
I don't mean that. I just meant the carnal part of him. About the prophecy, where the scripture says he's a serpent and an adder in your path, it's speaking of the carnal judgment The scripture goes back where Peter says, let judgment begin at the house of God, which house you are. So that to me means God deals with our judgment from the time we're we little things, how we judge things. If we're a good judge, slanted or not slanted. But I've said this a lot of times, if I would judge because I love him more than anything that walks the earth, as much as I know how to love, but in a judgment matter, if I would put him before anybody, it is wrong. Just because I love him and he's mine and I'm his, so to speak, it is wrong. Unless he's standing in the right. Now, if he's in the right, that's cool. But we're all selective that way, especially when it comes to blood. Because we think it's thicker than water. Well, okay. Well, if that's true, why aren't you in love with the Christ Jesus? Because it's his blood that flows through your veins more than anything or anybody. That's what I have to say. I'm going to stop. Should I turn this off?
Yes.